God's grace and God's peace be with each of you here this day. Our address for today is based on the call of Samuel, our first reading that we heard from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, speak to us through your word. Bless us this day as we hear your word and meditate on your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wonder if you would consider yourself a good listener. I wonder if you're here with your spouse or a family member, if they would consider you a good listener. Foundation students, I wonder if you're good listeners. Based on what we saw this morning, I think you're pretty good. It's been said that God gave us two ears and one mouth, and we should use them in that proportion. It's been said that God gave us mouths that close and ears that don't for a good reason. So I ask you again, I wonder, do you consider yourself a good listener? I heard a few yeses. Good on you guys. I don't claim to be, but I'm working on it. Maybe you're in the same boat as me. As a pastor, I have the opportunity to meet with quite a few couples in the lead up to marriage and premarital counseling kind of thing, although I don't use those words because it scares a lot of people off. That's kind of what we do. One of the exercises I like to do with couples is called assertive statements and active listening. Maybe some of you have done it before. Basically, the way it works is one person makes an assertive statement, an I statement, I would like or I wish for this or something, and the other person has to show that they're listening by repeating back to them what they've heard, and so it goes. The example that's given in the book that I use is that one person could say something like this: I enjoy the time we spend together, but I'd also like to spend more time with other friends. Perhaps we can make a time to discuss this further. You can hear already how dangerous this exercise can be. I've almost lost a few couples at this point, by the way. I once had a couple say, I would like us to share the housework more evenly, to which the other person said, what I hear you saying is, I never do anything around here. And I gulp and smile and say, yeah, let's just explore that a little bit further. Talk about that one a little bit more. You can hear, and perhaps you've experienced in your own lives, your own homes, your own relationships, the gap between speaking and listening, between a message that's being communicated and how that message is being heard. This is the art of communication, but I don't think it's quite as simple as we sometimes think it is. Our first Bible reading from the book of Samuel is all about communication, and it's especially about listening, the art of listening, and not just listening to human voices, but learning to listen to the voice of God in our lives. I wonder how that works. The reading is the call of Samuel, the call of Samuel to be a prophet of God and all that that call entails. And so what I want us to look at this morning is just three elements of that call: the context of the call, the discernment of the call, Samuel working out what this call is about, and then his response to the call. The context, the discernment, and finally, the response to the call. Samuel's a young man at this stage. He's a child, really. He's about 12 years of age. And he's said to be ministering before the Lord under Eli. Now, both Samuel and Eli work at what we call the tabernacle. Now, the students are familiar with the tabernacle because we looked at it in Friday Chapel. The tabernacle looks something like this. And it was at a time when the Israelites were a nomadic people, so they roamed around the countryside. They didn't yet have a permanent temple where they worshipped, but this was their place of worship. And it was very much a center for community life as well. So you can see the people camping around, and in the middle you have this great big structure, this fence around the outside, an outer court with an altar in the middle, and then in the very center you have this inner sanctuary or holy place, and that's where they kept the Ark of the Covenant, which had the Ten Commandments in, among other things. So that's the tabernacle, more or less, or an impression of the tabernacle. Eli works here, old Eli, and young Samuel works here as kind of an assistant or a helper. And that's where they are today when this call of Samuel occurs. From what we can tell, Samuel's pretty good at his job. He's a hard worker, he's attentive, he's diligent, and he's faithful in serving old Eli and doing various jobs around the tabernacle. We read that in those days the word of the Lord was rare and there were not many visions. The word of the Lord was rare and there were not many visions. There was a breakdown in the communication between God and his people. Either he wasn't speaking or they weren't hearing. Something had gone awry. It's possible that we read the Bible and we sometimes think that God is just always calling or yelling or speaking to people in his big booming voice from the sky, or that people are getting visions day after day of God speaking to them. It's not quite how it is in the Bible. There are plenty of times where it seems as though God is quiet. It seems as though God isn't saying much, or it seems as though people have become switched off to what he's saying and to the word of God in their lives. This is the background. This is the context into which the call of Samuel comes. We've got old Eli, we've got young Samuel, we've got them there at the tabernacle, and we've got a breakdown in communication between God and his people. Now, you know that a breakdown in communication can occur for all sorts of reasons in all our relationships, including our relationship with God. These days, a great deal of our communication is not verbal. We communicate through our phones, we communicate through our computers, and I think we have to be aware that with these technologies, the margin for error in our communication is so much less. It's so much easier to be misinterpreted, misunderstood, and the likelihood of a breakdown of communication is far greater with those technologies. You know that technology can be a great asset, a great means of communicating, but you probably also know that technology can be a great impediment to communication as well, particularly more close, face-to-face, intimate communication. My hunch is that in a lot of modern homes, this is a real challenge, right? How do we continue to communicate well face-to-face when we've got all these other means of communication which sometimes get in the way and break down that really important face-to-face communication? So this is the setting today. We've got the tabernacle, Eli, Samuel, and a breakdown in communication between God and his people. Next, the discernment of Samuel's call. So Samuel's there, there's like living quarters at the tabernacle, and Samuel's resting after a hard day's work. Eli has already retired for the night, he's gone off to bed, and Samuel hears this voice. Now it's a strange voice, it's a voice he doesn't recognize, but the voice calls his name. Samuel. Samuel hops up and he rushes off to see Eli. Now, Eli was an old man. He was partially blind, and so he probably needed a lot of help with various things, and Samuel was his assistant, so he probably did get called in at night to help Eli with various things. So Samuel assumes this is Eli's voice, and he rushes off to see Eli, and he says, "Here I am. You called me." Eli says to him, "No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." All right? You've probably maybe experienced this in the middle of the night. You're with young children, right? Child rocks up at your bedside or your door. "You said what? I said what? What are you talking about? Let's go back to bed." All right? Things are confusing in the middle of the night. And Eli's confused. Samuel's confused. They're not quite sure what's going on, but Eli sends him back to bed. Now, this happens two more times. Samuel's called, Samuel gets up, Samuel runs off to see Eli, Eli sends him back. Hears his name, gets up, goes off to see Eli, Eli sends him back. All right? Takes time to discern this call, to work out where this is coming from and what's going on at this point for both Samuel and for Eli. I'll ask you again, would you consider yourself a good listener? Is it easy to listen? Is it easy to make out the words being spoken and who is speaking them, and even more significantly, the meaning of what's being said? Is it easy to listen without preconceived ideas about what's coming? Is it easy to listen without judgment? Is it easy to listen without just thinking, what's my comeback going to be? Is it easy to listen not simply to make someone happy, but because you actually want to understand what's being said? Perhaps it's not as easy as we sometimes think it is. Samuel didn't yet know God, it says. Samuel didn't yet understand the voice of God. He didn't yet know how to discern God's call in his life. He didn't know what God sounded like. He didn't know what it meant when he heard his name being called. And perhaps for some of us, that's our experience when we hear God's word through the Bible as well. When we hear his word being spoken, perhaps our reaction is sometimes, what did he say? Why did he say it? Who's he talking to? Is he talking to them back then? Is he talking to us today? Why is he saying it that way? Right, I think a lot of people respond that way when they hear God's word coming to them through the Bible. One thing we need to be cautious of, I think, is assuming like Samuel assumed, oh, it's just the old man talking. Right? It's just a human voice. It's just a person writing. It's just words on a page there. It's just an ancient manuscript, right? It's got nothing to do with me. It doesn't mean anything for my life. This was Samuel's mistake, right? Once, twice, three times. He runs off to see Eli. He can't yet discern the voice of God. He's having trouble working out how God talks and what God is saying to him. Now, the turning point for Samuel is some very good and very timely advice from old Eli, right? And you get the impression that Eli has been woken up once, he's been woken up twice, he's been woken up three times. By that point, forget it, I'm awake, right? And he's finally lucid enough to actually respond to Samuel and give him some good advice. And the advice is, go back to bed. The next time you hear your voice, respond, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And Samuel goes back to bed and he hears his name not once but twice. Samuel, Samuel. And he says, speak, your servant is listening. From that point, God goes on to give him his prophetic call, to tell him what he wants from him as a prophet. And it's quite a challenging call, but it's quite an important word for Samuel to hear and to understand and to grapple with. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I think some people, or maybe all people, find it frustrating that if God's going to speak, that he wouldn't do it more clearly or directly to them. So they just hear it in plain day, booming from the sky, or however it might come, the voice of God. I know it, that's the voice of God. I think many of us think like that. At the same time, we don't necessarily consult the Bible where God says he is speaking, and we have very busy lives and packed schedules, and I don't know that God can even get a word in sometimes because we're so busy with what we're doing and so busy with our own speaking and our own acting that God has trouble breaking through that. You see, a precondition for Samuel to hear the word of God is that he goes back and just sits still for a while. Just sit there, kid, right? And if you hear his voice, if you think he's speaking to you, pray, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, and then wait and listen. I don't think many of us do this very often because we don't find it very easy to do, to sit and be still at the feet of God, to read his word and to pray to him. This is communication with God, but it's very hard for us modern people to do, I think. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. With this prayer in one hand and with the Bible, the Word of God, in the other hand, we might be surprised at how God does speak to us and does lead us and does guide us through our lives. And how God can make us even better listeners and speakers, more patient, more willing to work at it, more willing to hear the good in what other people say, more open to honest listening. It's a good open communication, less willing to jump down people's throats about what they say, less willing to presume we know what's coming, and just willing to sit openly and listen. That's part of what we learn in the school of Scripture. That's part of what God wants to teach us, is how to be good communicators, not just with him, but with one another as well. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Talk to me, God. Right? That's what Samuel's saying. Talk to me, God. Inform me. Educate me. Correct me. Challenge me. Forgive me. Restore me. Renew me. Lead me. Guide me. Talk to me, God. I need you. I need your voice in my life. St. Paul says that faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Faith comes through the ears. It comes through hearing. This is how we're built up. This is how God seeks to lead us in our life. I want you to jump forward a couple thousand years, not from here, jump forward a couple thousand years from Samuel to the people of Israel, and now they've got a temple. Now it's a structure. Now it's a permanent building of sorts. And at one point in history, another little boy, 12 years old, is brought to that temple, and his name is Jesus. And he's brought there by his parents, Mary and Joseph. And he goes into that place and he's there for a while. And what happens is parents leave and accidentally, I think, leave him behind. Don't leave your children behind when you leave today, all right? But they leave Jesus behind. He's there in the temple, and after they've left, they realize he's there and they go back for him, of course. And what do they find him doing? Listening and responding, conversing with, challenging, learning, understanding the word of God, the religious teachers. Right? That's what he's doing there in that place. And as he grows up, we see him become not just any prophet like Samuel, but the prophet from God. Not just any king or kingmaker like Samuel was, but the king, the promised king. This is who Jesus came to be. Jesus was a king who listened to the cries of his people. He knew how to listen and he knew how to respond. And it was said of him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Only you have the words of eternal life. Only you can give us these life-giving words that no one else can. Jesus forgave sins. He healed sorrows. He was called the Word of God made flesh. God's great means of communication with the world was Christ. Now, we didn't listen to him. In fact, we put him to death. But God raised him from death because death can't hold God. Death isn't as strong as God. And so Jesus was risen on the third day. And on account of him, we believe that we live by grace, by mercy, by forgiveness. Our poor communication in our daily relationships does not have to have the final say in our lives, because God has a word of grace for us. And God calls us to live by grace, to forgive one another, to start again, to receive his grace for ourselves, and to go out into this world to speak words of grace as well. God bless you as you seek to do that in your lives. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, speak to us with your grace and mercy and peace, so that we may be people who go out into this world to speak those same words to others. Lord, make us good listeners, patient listeners, open listeners, good communicators, and good recipients of your grace and your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.